The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. والصلاه والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى اليك واصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاه والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى اليك واصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Travelers of Difficult Paths, and inshallah in this episode, just like the previous ones, we will hear about the difficulties that our pious elders, our noble predecessors had to endure, had to face, and how they were patient upon those difficulties and hardships as well. But prior to that, let us hear an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif Salat ala Nabi. In one narration, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, أَسْمَعُ صَلَاتَ أَهْلِ مَحَبَّتِي وَأَعْرِفُهُمْ, that I hear the Salat, meaning the recitation of Salat ala Nabi, of my devotees, meaning my devotees who recite salat upon me, I hear that. وَأَعْرِفُهُمْ, and I recognize them as well. Subhanallah, what greater honor can there be than having the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognize you, hear your salat ala nabi, hear your recitation of Durood Sharif. May Allah grant us tawfiq to recite Durood Sharif in abundance. Ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Views of Madin Channel, in Suratul Buruj, which is in the 30th para of the Quran, and in particular verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, Allah Ta'ala speaks about a particular nation. And I will be relating what actually happened and what is this story, what is this account that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is referring to here. First of all, the verses of the Quran. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قتل أصحاب الأخدود النار ذات الوقود إذ هم عليها قعود وهم على ما يفعلون بالمؤمنين شهود. Cursed are the people of the ditch, of fire fed with fuel, when they sat around it, and they themselves were witnesses upon what they did to the believers. Now the tafsir, the description of what actually happened, what is being described in the verses, is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Who were the Ashabul Ukhdud? What is their story? Inshallah, we will hear about that in this very episode. Now Suhaib Rumi, radiyallahu ta'ala, he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in an era previous to you, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam is addressing the companions, there was a ruler, a king, and he had a sorcerer, a magician with him. When that sorcerer became old, he said to the ruler, I've become old now. Send a youngster to me. I'll teach him, I'll train him, and he can take my role. The king sent a youngster to him, as the elderly man had requested. Now that youngster, the path that he would take to go to the magician, the sorcerer, to learn magic, etc. On that path, he would always see a rahib, a monk, a hermit. And he would always go by him, sit with him, and he would listen to what he had to say. Now that rahib was a believer in the Prophet of that time. He was a believer, and he would recite the kalima. And he had designated a place where he would perform worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when that rahib, when that monk would speak to this youngster, his words would penetrate his heart. They would have a great impact upon him. They would influence him. Now because the youngster would spend time with this rahib, he would end up going late to the magician. And when he went late to the magician beat him up. So the youngster now complained to the rahib and said, look, I come to you, I hear your words, but when I go late to the magician, he beats me up. So he complained about him, basically. So the Rahib said, whenever you fear the magician, when you're fearful of him, then say to him, when he's about to hit you or he's about to do something to you, say to him that my family members, my family didn't allow me to come, they prevented me from coming, that's why I'm late. And vice versa, if you come home late, say that to your family members, say to them that the magician, he keeps me behind and that's why I come home late. Now the youngster, he was intelligent, he thought to himself that, he thought of a plan. He said, today I will see whether the rahib is on haqq, he is truthful, or the magician is on the truth. So what did he do? He picked up a stone and he said, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, if you like the work of the rahib, the hermit, more than the work of the magician, and if the speech of the rahib is truthful, then may an animal perish with this stone. Make an animal perish with this stone, O Allah. And that will help people cross when the animal perishes. So when the youngster, he threw the stone, the animal was struck by it, fell to the ground and died. This led to an increase in his heart. Increase in what? Increase in love for the rahib. He began to love him even more. And he was already inclined to him from before. So he began to believe that yes, the rahib is on haqq. What he tells me is the truth. And the sorcerer, the magician who I go to, he's on falsehood, he's on batil. And the actual king who sent this youngster to the magician, upon the request of the magician, he himself claimed to be God. Ma'adallah, that king would claim to be God. So the youngster now, he was adamant that this rahib, this hermit, this monk, he is on the truth. He is the person I should follow. He went to the rahib, he told him of what happened. He told him of why he believes is on the truth. And told him the story of the animal, etc. So the rahib said, oh son, today you have reached a maqam, a martaba, a status, which is even greater than mine. Today you have surpassed me, you have exceeded me. And your status will reach even further. I am seeing this. I have foresight in regards to this. You will reach a very high rank. But then he also told him, soon you will be tested so severely and you will be put into trial. The Quran tells us, dear viewers, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think that after reciting Kalima Shahada and embracing Islam, they'll be left alone and they won't be tested? We know this is not going to happen. The people of Iman will be tested. They will face severe test. Now, the Rahib says to him, but remember one thing. When you are put to trial, when you face affliction, remember one thing. Do not tell anybody about me. Now, after this event, it's stated that the youngster's du'as began to be accepted, became mustajab ud-da'wat. Iman became firmly embedded in his heart, and his heart was enlightened with the radiance of Iman. Allah Ta'ala granted him a strong Iman, and it's narrated that he was given those miracles that were granted to the great Prophet Isa alayhi salam as well. When we say miracles, we mean karama, because a wali has a karama, possesses karamat, and the anbiya have mu'jizat. And obviously the rank of a nabi is far greater than the rank of a wali. So we're not comparing them. We're saying similar kinds of things manifested. So what would happen? People who were born blind would regain their sight. People who had leprosy, they would become cured. And this youngster began to cure people with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there was a person in the court of the king who went blind. He lost his eyesight. He was close to the king as well. When that person who had lost his eyesight heard about this, and he realized that there is a youngster who cures those who are blind, he does dua for them, his duas are accepted, he reached out to him. He took many gifts to him, and he said to him, if you cure me, if you manage to cure me, all of these are yours. All of these gifts that I've come with are yours. You may take them. The youngster said, look, I don't cure anyone. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who cures. If you believe in Allah, if you embrace faith in Allah, I will pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure you. And He will grant you cure. And I'm not in need of your gifts. These gifts you bought, I don't need them. If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'll pray for you. And say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship. Say this, I'll do dua for you. You'll gain your eyesight back. The blind person said, I firmly say from my heart, I promise from my heart, that I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will never associate partners with Him. So he embraced faith in Allah, alhamdulillah. And Allah ta'ala granted him cure. He restored his eyesight. The person was no longer blind. Now when he returned to the king, the court of the king, and he sat next to him as per normal, the king was astonished that Ma'adullah, the king, refers to himself as God. He doesn't even know who's restored his eyesight. So the king asked him, tell me who restored your eyesight. He said, Allah Azza wa Jal did. Then the king said, have you got a lord other than me? He said, yes, my lord and your lord, Allah. When the king heard this, he imprisoned him and he began to inflict all sorts of punishments upon him. He said, I'll continue to do so until you tell me who this person was, who the youngster was, which person prayed for you, which person helped you restore your eyesight. In the end, the person who had regained his eyesight told him, it's this person. Remember, he was being punished all along. So he said, this person helped me. This person told me to embrace faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then that youngster was called to the court of the king. And the youngster again was inflicted, just like the blind person, the previously blind person. Now this youngster is being inflicted with all sorts of pain and punishment. And the king said to him, oh son, your magic has reached even my court. You cure those who are born blind. You restore their eyesight. You even cure those who have leprosy. And you do all sorts of other things. The youngster said, I don't cure anyone. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures. And upon this, the king began to inflict punishment on him as well. And when this punishment reached its peak, eventually the youngster told the king about the rahib. That it was the rahib who taught me everything I know. Then the rahib was brought to the court of the king. And he was told to renounce his faith. The hermit, the monk, the rahib rejected. And he said, how can this be? How can I turn away from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can I renounce my faith in Allah azza wa jal and not testify in His oneness? It's not possible. Why would I turn to you? You are not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have anything in this regard, meaning you don't have any power. And whatever you have, Allah has granted you it. This is what the rahib is saying to the king. He's brave, he's courageous. When the king heard this, he was enraged. So he asked for a sword to be brought and the rahib was sawn in half. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Look at the azmaish, look at the tribulation that he faced. Did he renounce his faith? No. Did he stay firm on the deen of Islam? Yes. Subhanallah. He lost his life, he became a martyr of Islam. Then he called the other person who regained his eyesight, said, look what's happened to the rahib. Renounce your faith, otherwise I'll do the same to you. And subhanallah, the person in whose heart iman becomes firm, he doesn't waver in his faith. He doesn't, you know, fear anything. Subhanallah. These were people of strong iman. And he said, how could this be? Just because of punishment that you can inflict upon me, I'd renounce my faith? No, it's not going to happen. So what happened? The king did the same to him. Sawn him in half. His body became two parts. Then what happened? The youngster was called. The rahib's been martyred. The person who had lost his sight but regained it due to the dua of the youngster, he's been martyred, sawn in half as well. And now the youngster is called and summoned. And he's told to do the same. Renounce your religion. And the youngster was told, look, I selected you for my court. I wanted you to take over the job of that elderly magician, that sorcerer. But you have turned away from my court. You have not considered me to be God. You believe in Allah. And the youngster rejected as well, just like the previous two people. And he said to him, look, I'll do the same to you as I did to them. You'll receive the same outcome. And he was foolish. What made him think that this youngster would leave iman? The previous two people didn't leave iman. They gave their lives in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They remained resolute and firm. What made the king think that this youngster would renounce his faith? Allahu Akbar. Now, the youngster, of course, rejected. He said, no, I'm not going to leave my faith, my belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was threatened as well. The king said to him, I'll kill you, I'll get you killed. Now, the youngster was one with strong faith. He knew that death is the only obstacle in meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, uniting one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he wasn't going to fear death. So due to this threat, he wasn't going to leave his faith. He had Jannah waiting for him, the qurba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he rejected this message of the king, the king said to some of his courtiers, some of his close people, take this youngster to such and such mountain and throw him off the mountain. I want you to kill him like that. Take him there, hang him over the top. If he renounces his faith, fine. If he doesn't, throw him down. That's what I want you to do. So they took him. They took him to the edge of the mountain. That youngster made dua. Oh Allah, you can save me in any way you prefer. You have the power to do so. When he prayed like this in the court of Allah, and he was someone whose du'as would be accepted, as soon as he did, an earthquake came. Zalzala. And all of the people with him fell and died. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. He was safe. He returned. And think about it, he had an opportunity to escape now. Nobody's there with him. He survived that earthquake. The rest of them died. But he goes back to the court of the king. Allahu Akbar. Look at the iman of these people. Subhanallah. He goes back to the court of the same king who wanted him killed, who wanted him thrown off the edge of a cliff. So he goes back to the king. The people with you, where are they? He explained what had happened, how they all had died. There was an earthquake. And none of them survived. Allah Ta'ala has saved me. This is what he said to the king. Then the king again handed him over to some of his people, some of his courtiers, and said, take him on a boat to the middle of the ocean. And when you reach the middle of the ocean, again, ask him to renounce his faith. If he accepts, that's fine. Bring him back. If he doesn't, throw him into the ocean. If he doesn't believe me to be God, throw him in the ocean. And they did this. They took him there. And they invited him towards believing that the king is Allah. The king is God. Ma'adallah. Again, he rejected. Why is he going to accept? He's not fearful of death. He's ready for death. Subhanallah. He said, how can I reject Allah and accept the way of kufr? Not possible. When he said all of this, and he remained resolute, firm, established, and steadfast upon his deen, he prayed again. He said, oh Allah, you can save me in any way you want. You have the power, you can save me. Look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately the ship overturned. And besides the youngster, everyone else died. They all drowned. Look at the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The power of Allah jalla wa'ala, this youngster survived. Again, he goes back to the court of the king. You may think in that situation, a person has every right to try and escape and save his life. But he goes back to the court of the king. And again, the king is astonished. Where are the people? He explains the whole situation, how the boat capsized, overturned, everyone died, they drowned. Allah Ta'ala saved me. Now the king is concerned again. What's going on? He said to himself, what shall I do now? What planning should I adopt so that this person either embraces faith in me or he loses his life as I want him to? What can I do? Then the youngster himself advised the king, said, if you want to kill me, I'll tell you how to do it. I will advise you on how to do that. You'll be successful as well. He said, you will not be able to kill me until you don't adopt my advice, adopt what I'm about to say. The king said, what do you advise? How should I go about this? I've already tried two methods and none of them worked. The youngster said, look, gather people in an open plain and hang me, tie me to a date palm tree. Then take out an arrow and recite Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam and strike the arrow at me. Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam, meaning beginning with the name of Allah, who is the Lord of the youngster, the youngster who we're talking about. When you say this and when you strike the arrow, you will be successful in killing me. So the king did as he was told. He gathered people, and according to the method mentioned by the youngster, he tied him against the tree. And before he struck the arrow, he said, Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam. when the arrow left the bow, it hit the temple of the youngster. When it struck the temple of the youngster, it got lodged in there. It got lodged in the temple of the youngster. The youngster began to place his hand on the area where the arrow was lodged. And when he did so, he passed away. Obviously, there's a lot of pain. When the people saw this, they say, we believe in the Lord of that youngster. They embrace faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dev Yuzamad inshallah. Look at the maqam granted to that youngster. Because of him, so many people entered the fold of Islam. So many people were gifted with iman. Because of his firmness, because of his resoluteness, because of his istiqamah upon iman and deen. Now the king was told, look, you wanted to get rid of him, but never did you think that this would happen. The people have accepted his God. People have accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their Lord. What are you going to do now? So he ordered for some ditches to be dug. He said, dig some ditches. And when the ditches had been dug, this was completed, place fire in that. Light a fire, a blazing fire. And the king ordered, anybody who does not believe in me, believes in Allah, place him into the fire. The people were thrown into the fire until to the extent and a woman was brought, a woman. And she had a child in her lap. She was carrying a child. Now that woman, she became a bit concerned, a bit hesitant, but the child spoke. Allah Ta'ala granted the child the tawfiq to speak. He said, oh mother, be patient. Don't be hesitant. You are upon the righteous, truthful deen. And then the woman along with the child were both thrown into the fire. Now this is the story, Views of Madinah Channel, of the people of the ditch. And we spoke about it in length. It's mentioned in Sahih Muslim. And there's so many things that we can learn from this. So many things. That difficulties come, a person becomes concerned. It's human nature. Why has difficulty entered my life? People start beginning to say stuff, wrongful stuff, unlawful things, things that they can't say. They begin to complain, wail, mourn. But when the people of truth, when the people of strong iman are tested, subhanallah, they realize this is a means of gaining a greater rank in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. How many people were martyred in this story? Many, numerous. Look at the manner in which they were martyred. Did they take a footstep back? No. They were firm upon their deen. They had strong iman. They believed in the afterlife. They had yaqeen that Allah will bless them. Allah will reward them abundantly. We know that apparently they were thrown into the fire. But the reality is that they reached the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was momentary, that pain they suffered. But the bliss now, the bliss that they will attain will be eternal. Subhanallah al-Azim. So we should always be patient upon our deen. We should always be content with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we receive a blessing, be grateful to Allah jalla wa ala. If a difficulty enters your life, be patient. This is the only way that a believer can adopt. This is the best way and the only way. Any other way will lead to complaining, being ungrateful to Allah. And this is not the way of the believer. One great benefit is that on the Day of Judgment, when people of Allah will go towards the plains of resurrection, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will convey salam to them, will present salam to them. Salamun alaykum bima sabartum fa ni'ma uqbad dar. Meaning, O people who are patient, what is the reward of that patience? Salam from us, the innocent angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is not just salam in terms of the greeting. Another interpretation is that the abode of peace will be granted to them. And of course it will. The hereafter is an abode of peace for the believers who will enter Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala make us amongst the Sabireen, make us amongst the Shakireen, make us amongst those who fight every test head on and we come out successful as well. May Allah grant us istiqama upon our deen and sunniyat as well. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.